Hey, this is Carl with Carl and Crew Mornings. You're listening to the Carl and Crew Showcast. All right, 5:01 is our time. We got some focus problems in here right out of the bat this morning.
Uh-oh.
What do you mean by that? Some focus problems?
Allie can't focus.
Oh.
So she just said her eyes can't see.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, what's distracting her?
You know, sometimes when you don't get enough sleep, your eyes are actually, it's harder for you to see first thing in the morning.
How much sleep? I don't want to know.
I don't want to know either.
No, but it's just, it's a weird thing. And yeah, I've been wearing glasses since I was 6 years old, so I'm...
It's not the glasses thing.
It's not glasses. It's actually my eyes are kind of going, doing something funky this morning.
She got the sleepy cross-eyed thing.
Yep.
You got the sleepy cross-eyed thing.
Maybe so. I don't
know. She's not cross-eyed.
Yeah, she called me Jonathan, you know? I'm like, oh, no.
Oops.
Wow.
It's Carl and Crew Mornings. We're off and running here. And the good news, we haven't been censored yet here, so we're rolling on. You get to hear us live
that
every morning here from 5 to 9.
We got the dump button just in case.
Yeah. You know what? The truth is, they can censor me at any moment here because Sputnik has that button going right over the right over there yonder.
That's
land.
Right.
If we ever decide, you know,
one of the funniest discussions. One of the funniest discussions we've ever had is who's the dump button for a guest or for Carl?
That really was funny.
I actually laughed
we're
out loud
on that
driving.
One.
I don't
driving.
Think I've ever actually was, used it on you.
I was driving down the road one day. You ever have those things? Those things pop in your brain.
And you just start laughing again. Totally.
I remember the first time that I didn't use the dump button when I should have.
Oh yeah.
And I was laughing about that yesterday. Because I remember, Carl, you...
I go, ready?
You had to go over it like five times with me afterwards.
Three, two, one.
Dump.
And so
we should
everything going out
the,
on the air
we
is
explain
ready?
Explain what the dump button
three,
is.
Three, two,
important.
One.
Because it sounds really weird.
Well, dump button is a little lever on the side of the outhouse that we have over here.
No.
That's funny.
That is a button. You hear us 15 seconds after we actually say the words. There's a 15-second little buffer.
Yes.
If something crazy were to happen on air, and it's only happened a handful of times, maybe someone slips and says, a caller slips and says a word they shouldn't say, or... We will just activate that button and it kind of erases that before it ever gets on air. It's kind of an emergency use only kind of deal.
Everyone.
Yeah, because we're live here.
And there's laws out there, FCC laws, things that you can and can't say. And
we want to make sure we don't say those things you can't say.
The biggest battle is me. That's why I have the yips. Every time I get on air, I wonder what's going to come out of my mouth. So,
but it's never not the only one.
I have this crazy right shoulder twitch when I lay down in bed at night. My doctor said it's related to me worrying about what I'm going to say on air.
Oh, no.
Really?
Makes sense.
Why do I not believe that?
That's a bunch of hooey. I'm just out there just babbling away.
Uh-oh.
I need to get my head squared
here.
You had
me, man. I believed you.
Yeah. Oh, sure you did.
Yeah.
5:03 is our time. Can't get those 2 minutes back. They're gone for forever.
Hope you enjoyed them.
And we're off and oh, goodness sakes. We're talking about the power of the word to life, guys. And boy, there is power in it. Today, we're going to be talking about how beautiful it is when we have the word to get us through seasons of desert. Desert seasons where it's like, yikes. But let's define it. What are desert seasons? Come on. Everybody, I think, has their... My bride, do you know what we had land on our porch 2 days ago?
What's that?
A case of Streams in the Desert. Not the little paperbacks, but the hardbacks.
Devotional book. Okay.
My wife gives them away like cordwood.
So I
had to find a place that gave them at a somewhat decent rate. Got to get Moody Publishers to make those things here. But by the way, they're going to produce Humility by Andrew Murray.
Oh, very cool.
That's a great classic book.
I told Randall, he's the head of publishing. I said, you'd sell a ton of those just through our show. He said, well, we'll do it. I didn't know this, but some books are almost like public domain.
Kind of like fair game, for anybody to...
Yeah, it's fair game. Anybody can publish them. And that's one of them. But Streams in the Desert, my wife loves to give away. Why? Because desert seasons happen to people all the time. And it's a phenomenal devotional.
I think for me, when I have desert times, it's when I'm not hearing from the Lord. And I want, and I'm thirsting to like hear from him or be refreshed. And somehow it just doesn't happen.
Okay, that's interesting. Do desert seasons, we got to fix this mic thing. I can't even see your mug.
Oh, blocking you.
But what's that?
It's blocking your
view. Yeah, who came in here last night?
I don't know.
I don't know. Wow.
Get the surveillance camera footage out,
all
would
right.
you?
Sounds good.
Find out what's going on around here. Anyhow, but sometimes desert seasons are because we don't hear from God. Sometimes, have you ever had desert season where you know God's walking with you, but you're going through it anyway?
Affliction. Yes. Yeah. Seasons of trial.
It's like, whoo.
Yeah.
What else is characteristic of desert seasons?
Health.
Health is
a big one.
It's a big one. Mm-hmm. I mean, because that can be, whoo. I mean, you went through a stretch, sister.
Man,
that was brutal.
Yeah.
But man, you bounce back. You're better than new.
God
You're
is
awesome.
Good. God redeems and God is good.
Wow.
Yeah. She's dancing like crazy. She looks like Fabio's younger
it's
cousin.
True. Wow. Okay.
I mean, amazing.
No. Come back.
All right.
I think too with desert seasons, it's just a season, but sometimes it can feel really long.
Yeah. I mean, the funny thing about desert seasons for me is they might be 2 months, but they feel like 20
right,
years.
Exactly.
Right,
exactly.
Right. Yes. And you can easily start to feel like, where you're not thinking at the time, wow, this is a desert season.
Yes.
You're not thinking, you only look at it like that after the fact. When you're in the middle of it, you think, like, I don't know if I'm going to get through this. My life is kind of whatever. You think all of these things, and usually you kind of default to, this is never going to end.
I think you're right. I think my wife's got a spiritual gift of telling people you're in deserts and handing them a book. Sometimes it's good to know that.
Yes.
No, I'm serious.
That's great, though.
No, well, I mean, it's yeah. sometimes it's good to have someone come up to you and go, I think you're in
you
a
that.
Real desert
and
season.
Identifying yeah. it for you, because I don't think you always have the wherewithal to go, this is a desert season yeah. that I'm in. It's temporary. I don't know. We always get there.
You're right. I think that's true. Okay, coming up, we are going to tackle it. Some desert seasons come for lots of different reasons. Now, we all are loaded and ready to go, and we don't know what the other one has for a central passage of scripture. Mine's kind of funny.
Okay.
For how God deals with the desert season.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm really dying to know what Superdyes is. I don't know why. I'm just dying to know, what is Superdyes' desert season scripture kind of thing? Yeah. We're going to get into it here.
She's making that face.
I again. Know. She makes that face all the time. Whenever I call her name.
It's yeah. true.
She makes squiggles.
She's like, what are you doing?
Her face wrinkles up. Her like eyes bug out. She rolls her eyes at me something.
She said, can't believe this
utter
guy's wanting me to talk again.
Yeah, that's right.
Not disdain.
Can't
wow.
Can't believe we're on a talk show and he's wanting me to say something again. This is just horrible. This is
wrong.
This is
the worst show I've ever listened to.
Wow.
508 is our time.
That got me really good.
What is going on?
Well, I'll tell you what. It's the first morning in a long, long time that I came in last of all of you, and I can't let that happen again. Look what's happening. We're coming off the rail.
I'm glad you're joining us.
Coming up in a moment, we're going
to
share with you.
I decided to make it Carl and Crew today.
Some scripture's coming. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Allie. You're listening to the Carl and Crew Showcast.
Let me cut to the chase here. I went through a season. I want to put a warning on this one because I think a lot of people, especially in this day and age, I want to be careful with how I say this. Maybe not in this day and age. I think it's easy to have a mentality that we look to what others have done to me rather than what we've done to ourselves or what we've done to God. And the biblical model for dealing with interpersonal relations is look at the log in your own eye first.
Hmm.
Bottom line, Jesus said it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, don't be looking around at, wow, look at that plank. Cause I see him in alley. I mean, that's like,
oh, wow.
You know, we're social distanced here, but I can see 2x4s in her eye. Big ones.
I think it's practical because the only thing you can do is change yourself.
At first, I mean, I love what Jesus said. Grab that plank out of your own eye, and then you can help with the speck in the other.
Yeah.
Because I think when you have self-introspection, you actually help others with a merciful heart. Because all of a sudden now you realize, whoa. Dealing with stuff in your own life is weighty. So I say this understanding that God is not wanting you to play victim. He wants you to look at your own eye, look at your own self first, rather than playing the blame game, because that's easy to do. But Fact is, in this life, sometimes we're going to have some people problems and we're going to feel deeply betrayed because we are. This is what God gave me through a season after I had to do some deep personal introspection. And he gave me this, and you might say, wow, what a weird stream in a desert for you. Well, this was a stream in a desert. This was the word to life for me, and I hung on to it. Behold, the wicked man conceives evil and is pregnant with mischief. Anybody like that imagery? I sure do.
Oh, yeah.
And gives birth to lies.
Oof.
Come on now. Verse 15. He makes a pit, digging it out, and falls into the hole that he has made. Woohoo! Gotta love that. His mischief returns upon his own head and on his own skull. His violence descends. I'm telling you, that is freedom for a soul that's been ravaged in a relationship.
So how do you process that? Like, so
I'm speechless.
Are you, when you read something like that, are you gleeful? Is it like a God's going to get him?
Yeah, that's a good question. Listen, we got to be careful by saying, oh, well, we should never want that, you know, you should never want anything bad on anyone. Well, that's how do I say this kindly? That's not thinking biblically. If you look at Psalm 139, David himself says, do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? Okay, let's just deal with that. We know that vengeance is mine, I will repay. But is it an unrighteous thing to have a sense, not of glee, but of satisfaction that God's promises are fulfilled?
No.
No way. Not a problem at all. I don't know what that line is, Allie.
Mm-hmm.
I've had to search it in my own heart because there's times when I know the Holy Spirit's told me, you're a little too giddy about something going down here, Carl.
Mm-hmm.
And there's other times when I've had a holy satisfaction and almost a pause in my heart like, whoa, take heed lest you fall.
I think that's the only way that we can really get through this life is believing that our God is a God of justice. That all of the injustice that we see around the world, that there's an answer for it, that God is the God of justice. It's not that he's blind to it. It's not that he doesn't see or doesn't care. In his own time, he will make all things right.
And then the question from a Christian ethics standpoint is there, can there be glee in that? And I would say you've got plenty of scriptures that are evidence of the fact that you do not delight in another one's failure. But on the same hand, can you find a certain amount of providential peace that God's promises do come to pass? Here's what I'd say. If you embrace that with a heart that says, take heed lest you fall, and have a holy awe of God and his workings, yeah. I mean, David's saying, do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? There's a sense in which There's a righteous indignation. I love what's been written here, though, lately in these last weeks of politics and everything that's gone on. I think it's Piper in Desiring God. I think he has a new blog out. Do I trust my own anger? Don't trust your own anger, because when you start to trust your own anger, you're on some dangerous territory.
That's very true.
That's a good word.
You set yourself up as God quick.
Oh, that's
quick.
Good. Yeah, that's true.
6:22 is the time. Glenn in Valpo, what do you say, Glenn?
Yes, Carl. I wasn't quite ready.
You gotta be ready to go, man. We're gonna pull the trigger at any time here. What do you say, Glenn?
I'm so sorry. Okay,
not a problem.
I'm feeling like my whole church is going through a desert right now. Mm. A desert of loneliness.
Yeah.
Because of this COVID thing. So many people have almost a spirit of fear of being able to come back out and gather together and fellowship. And as a deacon, I miss it.
I know.
I really miss getting out there and laying hands on people and praying for them and everything else. But to piggyback on Joseph's story that you guys were talking about, what Satan meant for evil, God means for good.
Yep.
And I really think that the church is learning to be more media savvy, to reach younger people, and, to actually get some old farts like me to get in front of a screen.
You know,
and reach out in a way that we're less comfortable.
Well, and Glenn, here's my feeling on that one too. I think God's calling us. I think God's calling the church forward in revival. I think there's. I think we're getting called back to what's important. I think we're getting called back to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, and I think we're finding that politics makes a fun little thing to banter about, but it makes a pretty poor God, quite frankly. An awful God.
Oh, for sure.
Right on, Glenn. Love your heart, man. I told someone the other day, man, I'm ready for a group hug. Bad.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm ready. This is starting to wear me out.
Yeah.
I mean, this is bogus.
Yeah.
Can't wait till they start. Get this. The latest result. Yesterday, the results were, and they're going fast. 8 million injections had been given. Mm-hmm. Now, that's the first round. I think there's already something like, as of yesterday, like 1 million people that have gotten both doses. Maybe it's not quite that many.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
But we're getting there, guys.
It's going to happen. We're getting there. It's a season.
It's a season, and we're going through it.
Hey, this is Super Di. Hope you're enjoying the Carl and Crew Showcast.
All right, Allie, take us to Russia.
Well, I was living in Kazan, Russia. This was probably about 8 years ago. I was pregnant with my son. My husband was playing basketball professionally for a team there. Just to set the kind of set it up, if you're not really familiar with Russia, it is obviously cold, but culturally, it can be difficult for a Westerner to kind of acclimate.
Yeah.
It's not as friendly. It doesn't feel as welcoming. This is a smaller city, so it wasn't like this bustling sort of metropolis. So it was already isolating. We were in an apartment that year that had no windows directly to the outside.
Oh, no.
So what? I know I'm painting a bleak picture here.
In Russia, sun doesn't come up. It's like Alaska.
So it was gray. You couldn't see the outside. I'm isolated. I'm pregnant with our son. So already sort of emotional. And I sort of had a bit of a crisis of faith. I had just been going through a season where I didn't feel like I was hearing from God. Mm. It just felt kind of like a dry desert season. And then I was watching something, and I came across this video of this woman who was talking about her faith, and she was so excited. She was so talking about her time with the Lord and how she just does all these things, and the Lord was so near. And it kind of put me into this real crisis of, I don't have that. Why am I not experiencing that kind of vibrant joy in my relationship with Christ? So I started just really praying, almost as if, like, God, I don't even know if I'm with you. I feel so far. I feel so dry. I'm seeing this video of somebody who obviously is cooking with you, and I'm not, and I don't even know what to do. So I started reading. I started praying, and this went on for, you know, a little bit of time. And then one day I was reading in the book of Daniel, and you know, sometimes a verse will jump off the page to you.
Yes.
Where you're not even necessarily reading
looking
that, but all of a sudden words illuminate. And that's what happened. And so the verse that jumped off the page as I was just doing my devotional time was Daniel 10:12. And this was the verse. It said, "Do not be afraid, Daniel," he said, "for from the first day that you purposed to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them." I couldn't tell you the real context of what that passage is in the book of Daniel, but I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that that day that verse was for me. I've heard, I have seen, I've come in response to your prayers. And it lifted me out of what had been a really dry desert season. And all of a sudden I had this awareness because of the word of God that he was near, that he was there, that he had heard all of my prayers crying out to him.
It's awesome, Allie.
Wow.
See, I don't care where you're at today. I am convinced of this. If you are faithful to open the word, God will be faithful to show up. And you may need to keep going for a little bit and keep going and keep going. But I'm convinced that cracking open that Bible and just beginning to look and see where is God in here, your stream in the desert may well show up.
Absolutely.
Sweet. Sputnik, tell me your story. You were in a funk for about a year.
Yeah, last year was kind of difficult for me. There was a lot of personal things that was going on. And I don't have a specific verse. It's actually the whole story of Joseph. The entire story.
The great story.
And it's so good. You know, Joseph went through a lot of things, like family trouble, boss is not believing him, putting him in prison for something that he didn't do. There just seem to be so many trials. And at the very beginning of the story, God gives him a dream. And so the whole time, I wonder how much he held on to that dream through all those trials.
Must have.
But his life is so inspirational to me that he walked with God through the whole thing. And maybe he did complain and had that victim mentality that we were talking about. But the Bible, it's interesting, doesn't really mention that.
I don't know, man. I think, you know, he's taken some hits by some preachers. I don't think they're deserving. I don't even think when he shares his dreams with his brothers,
I don't think he's bragging. I don't think he's just giving the facts, man.
Right. He's just
He's one of the few characters in the Bible that doesn't do anything wrong.
It appears.
Yes.
Some guys will say he does.
Mm-hmm.
But So how did that help you hang on when you really got to hang on?
My pastor, Pastor Neely, preached a sermon on it. And, you know, he was looking at me the whole time. And I just felt like that story made me think, okay, God, you're in this. You have a purpose. Because the whole time God had a purpose. It was to save his people from famine. And you know, we go through trials, but God has a purpose through it all. And so that's what helped me. And Pastor Neely came up after the sermon and said, you're going through this. You're going through it. And it's okay.
Well, and here's the cool thing that you got to remember. You might say to yourself, I'm no Joseph. Doesn't matter. God paints pictures in the scripture, some small, some large, but the theme is similar. Mm-hmm.
And I think it's encouraging to not try and I think the tendency when bad things happen is to walk away from God or say, you're not listening to me or you don't actually have a plan. What are you doing? But that's not what Joseph does in this story. And
no,
that's really what helped me to stop doing that.
Sweet. How about you? We are ready for your response to this question right now, Boom Crew.
How has God's word gotten you through a desert season?
Carmen, first time caller in Chicago. What do you say, Carmen?
Good morning. I love your show. Thank you so much.
It
encourages me with the stories that you play there. I was going through, I went through a hectic situation with my son this week. He almost, you know, got killed this weekend, but I went and I called my friend, my best friend, and she started praying for me and praying for me, praying for me.
Yeah.
And she hung up the phone. I felt like the burden was lifted up. And I felt peace in my heart. And I just keep standing on the word, believing that God is with me through this all and that God will grab a hold of him in such a way that he'll return to God through the situation and give his life back to God.
Yeah.
And I just thank God so much that he is alive.
Yeah, that's awesome, Carmen. First time caller, Chicago. Father, have your way in her son right now.
Hi, I'm Sputnik, and you're listening to the Carlin Crew Showcast.
You know, it's really funny. We're going through a season right now in our nation that it's hard.
Yeah.
And I don't know what it's doing in you, but I'll tell you what it's doing in my bride and I. We were talking last night. It's causing us to get more hungry for the word than we've ever been.
Yeah.
Ever. And it's time, guys. It is time. It's time for the church to arise. It's time for the church to be awake. It's time for the church to be in prayer. It's time for the church to be in the Word. We can't play patty cake with this stuff anymore. Let me tell you what won't work anymore. Spectatorship. That ship is sinking. This spectatorship's Christianity, out, gone. It ain't going to cut it, baby. It ain't going to cut it. We got to get engaged. Do you do this in your strength? No, we come back to it time and again by the power of the Holy Spirit. Don't go out in your own strength. Every time you do, you should have echoing in your ears, Galatians 3, who has bewitched you? That you began in the spirit. Why are you working out in the flesh? Meaning it's the Spirit of God that's going to cause these spiritual disciplines of prayer and Bible reading to come to life. But we need them to come to life. The time is now. The time is now. And you've got a story. We want to hear it.
How has God's word lifted you during a desert season? 312-274-9624.
Robbie and DeMont, what do you say?
Hey, good morning. Yeah, so it's more my wife's story, but obviously it affected all of us. So she had pretty bad postpartum depression after our son was born.
That's a real thing. And,
yes, very real. And she was dealing with that, and she started going to Bible study, women's Bible study at our church. And it was just amazing to see her dig into the Word and just kind of see the worst part of that depression lift from her, and to see the encouragement that it brought to her. And that obviously it challenged me, it encouraged me, and you know, I mean, it just the way that it just grew our whole family, and it was just amazing.
Robbie, you're proud of your woman, aren't you?
Oh yeah.
You're a spiritual stud muffin, my man. As a matter of fact, I don't do this very often, but Robbie, stay on the line. You're getting a Carl and Crew prize pack, because every woman needs a hubby like Robbie. That almost rhymes.
Almost.
But stay on the line, Robbie. How about that? You didn't call in thinking you were getting a prize pack, did you, my man?
No, not at all. I came in, I called in to brag about my wife.
Yeah. Well, it's really cool. It's your wife and the Word of God and what it's done in her. Isn't that a cool story?
Yes.
And it's true. Sometimes some of you might be listening now going, you know, Carl, I remember those times when I was in Bible study and I was hearing from God all the time. Maybe it's time to come back. Maybe it's time to come back home. Maybe that's what God's calling you to do today. Come on, man.
We want to hear your story. How has God's word lifted you during a season of desert affliction?
Take it away, Young Thunder.
Yeah, for me, what I was experiencing in my desert season was it was for off and on for over a year, and this was a desert of faith. That, you know, I'm someone, and I've shared this before, where I was so scared about my standing with God. And that lasted for a long time.
Let's be really clear, whether or not you were born again or not.
Yeah.
Am I in or am I out?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
One of my biggest fears was to get to heaven one day and God to say, nope, sorry.
Never knew you.
And that terrified me. And I went back and forth, you know, am I there? Am I not? Am I there? Am I not? And this was really, really difficult. I mean, I remember times of my wife trying to encourage me while I'm in tears, just not knowing what to do. And one thing that really has helped me, and I would say continues to help me, I haven't experienced this for quite a while, but I know that if it ever comes back, I know exactly where I'm going.
Dying to know, man.
Yeah,
this is cool.
It's not a specific passage, but it's just the reciting of the gospel. That there is nothing better to calm those fears than the gospel. Just reciting the truth of what Jesus did for me, because it takes all that pressure off of, okay, where am I at with God? Because it's what God has done for me, and do I believe him for it? And yes, I do. And so as I recite the hope of the gospel and I talk to him about what he's done for me and I thank him for what he's done for me, he lifts my spirit to say, okay, now that you remember it's on me and I've already done it for you, then you don't have to be afraid anymore.
That's a cool thing, bro.
Wow.
It's a cool thing. Super, I don't want to cut you short here, so I'm going to carry you over to the top of the next hour. But wow, okay. Guys, listen, I don't care where you're at here today, Boom Crew. You need to know something. There are going to be seasons of affliction. This is what we find in Psalm 119. If your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. Did you hear that? If your law, let me read it again. If your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. This is all the reason you need to get in the Word of God.
Yes.
All the reason you need right here in one verse.
Mm.
We're going to have a read through for the whole Boom Crew that's going to launch on February 1. It's going to be 28 days. That's it. 28 days.
Nice.
Going to launch on February 1. We're going to do it together. And I'm going to add a little spice to this thing this time that's going to be ha, 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 ha.
Oh.
Really excited about this. So you're going to want to be here for sure and together, because we're going to launch into a little read through February 1. Because getting the Word of God into your heart is really important. Super Di, what do you say, sister?
In a situation that had to do with health, it's about almost 3 years ago, actually. It was a Bible verse that carried me through that desert, and also a story, a parable out of, oh, not, I shouldn't say parable, a story from the Bible as well. It was two main things. The verse was out of 1 Peter, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. And I would just lay there on the overnight in the hospital as I was looking out the window, and I would just keep saying that to myself over and over and over. As I was just laying there, I was just in so much pain. But I just knew
you were in a touch and go deal there too.
Very touch and go. Part of it was I could have lost my leg. The infection was actually burning through my system. I was in so much pain. I was allergic to so much too, as far as antibiotics, that was hard. They couldn't knock it out. That was a big problem with it as well. So the situation was just kind of unfolding in all kinds of different directions and different layers of it. And here I am, and, you know, you're by yourself, that kind of thing, and just wondering, where is this going? Where is this going to finally land? So that verse was huge. The other story, though, through the Bible that always carried me, and I just always touches my heart, is the woman whose faith was so strong this story makes me tear up. She just knew that if she could just touch his robe, that's all she had to do. And I kept thinking, God, that's all I need to do. That's all I need to do. And that's what I did. And here I am.
And he touched you.
Oh, man.
We think we're reaching out for God, but he's reaching out to us.
Oh, absolutely. He touched my hospital gown, and there you go. But if I could just reach out.
That's
you
awesome
know?
Faith.
Hey, it's Young Thunder, and you're listening to the Carl and Cruz Showcast.
Psalm 119, verse 92. If your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. My friend, hear me. We can go through all kinds of desert seasons. God's word is the primary resource to get us through. My bride got another case of streams in the desert. You know what it is? It's God's word, then with some commentary written around it, and usually peppered with more passages of scripture. If you're going through a desert season, we do not have it at Moody Publishers, but get a copy. Streams in the Desert is one of the greatest devos you can get. Check it out. You get a blue hardback copy, and man, I'm telling you, it's going to be a great resource. But we've been tackling different aspects of God's word as being a source of encouragement through affliction, and kind of now track this with me. We looked at pain of elongated trials, relationships, dark night of the soul that you had in Russia, feeling like, where are you, God?
Yes.
I mean, you guys we've all had something to share. I want to take off on something here because we had a text come in that was just beautiful. Let me explain. I was sharing that one of the great passages that I've had has been Psalm chapter 7, verses 14 and following, which deals with the fact that sometimes we're going to go through betrayals and we're going to find ourselves in a situation that people are digging ditches for us or pits for us, and then they, by God's providence, will fall in it themselves.
Yeah.
Now, one thing I stated is before you start down that path of saying, yeah, that's the situation I have in life, we find over and over again in Scripture, Jesus says, get the plank out of your own eye first. And this is important. I've seen so many couples who find it so easy to say, he did this, therefore I'm justified to get out of here. Now, here's what I want to say about this. This is a dicey situation I'm getting into, but it's true. There are definitely people that have grounds for divorce, okay? It's true. And there is no way any kind of physical or verbal abuse should be tolerated. May not split the sheets, but you may separate for a season. But here's what I have seen over and over again. Human nature is a dangerous thing if not submitted to the Holy Word of God. Human nature can cause us to see everything wrong in the other person and never take a look at ourselves. Dangerous. I don't care if you're in a workplace. I don't care where you are in this world. I don't care if you're in a neighborhood association. I don't care if you're in a church board. I don't care if you're, it doesn't matter where you are. Please do yourself a favor. Whenever you find yourself looking at someone going, something's wrong with them, stop, look in a mirror and go, God, before I start thinking about the speck in their eye or even maybe helping them remove it because I got the answer for it, if there's a plank in my own eye, help me pull it out. Wow. We had someone text in who did that very thing.
Just an incredible story. She says, in November 2019, my husband asked me for a divorce, and I was deeply offended. I called into your show anonymously asking for prayer because I told that my husband was not going to fight for my marriage anymore. I felt like the victim, but God has helped me to realize that I played a big role in the reason why he felt the way he did. After dealing with myself, God has allowed me to realize that my controlling tendencies pushed my husband away. Now I've dealt with the plank in my own eye. God has intervened in my marriage and turned it completely around. I am able to see what God has been doing. I'm able to bless other women and help them to see sometimes that when their own tendencies are playing a role in the struggle of their marriage. My husband loves me more today than he did before. Him seeing my change made him want to change. Then she adds, I've added the song Rescue Story to my playlist because that's the song you dedicated to me when I was going through my trial.
That is power. So let's just recap here. Do we sometimes find ourselves in situations where we are looking at faults in other people? Mm-hmm. I would say we are naturally given to looking at faults in other people. I'm going to tell you this. It is a supernatural thing to stop in the middle of that and to say, search me, God, know me, look at the plank in my eye, help me see the plank in my eye. Will you help me get anything out of my life that needs to get out of my life? Wow, that's taking maturity.
Yep.
Anyone can point fingers and blame. Anyone can. We come out of the womb pointing fingers and blaming. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's the high road to say, look at me. Mm. And this young lady did that very thing.
Got a question I want to kick around with the team. Carl, I want to know what you think about this. We got an email and I got a text message, both kind of along the same lines. People kind of COVID long haulers who are battling symptoms, people who are in kind of a desert season health. What do you say to somebody who's listening right now and goes, I'm right smack dab in the middle of this desert season. I want to get encouragement from the word. I don't even know where to start.
The Spirit of God instantly prompted in me, we're going to pray. Because the minute I get alerted to someone mm-hmm. who says I'm stuck, I got to pray. So, Father, in Jesus' name, to these people that are long haulers struggling with symptoms of COVID still, those that are just aching for relationship and just in pain, I'm asking you to flood them right now with your presence. Overwhelm them so much that they would be dropped in gratitude to their knees and in tears. I'm asking for miraculous healing over these long haulers who are struggling with symptoms. Father, this is a tough thing. I'm hearing, Lord, is it true, Father, that 75% of people that have had it still have some lingering effects? Mm. Lord, this, we live in a broken world. God, would you be our peace? Would you be our healing? Would you be the one that gives us such waves of your presence that the sands of the desert won't overwhelm us? And show us what to do even when it feels like there's nothing to do. Show us what to do when it feels like there's nothing to do. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Life-changing info. Hey, it's Super Di, and you are listening to the Carl and Crew Showcast.
Well, boom, crew, they don't call us the Morningstar Mission Studios for nothing.
We have a great guest with us, Sandy Persey, Executive Director of Morningstar Mission Ministries, based in Joliet. Their mission, caring and sharing the love of Christ, neighbors taking care of neighbors.
Sandy, we're tackling today an important topic, and that's that the Word of God gets you through desert seasons. My goodness, sister, you minister to folks in desert seasons. What has God taught you through the very ministry that you lead?
Well, no matter what, God is there. I mean, many times we think he's not speaking to us, he can't hear.
Wow.
And right then, that's when he hears us the most.
Mm. Now, when people come in, they're obviously in a time of despair. How does your team really use the Word of God to encourage people? Yeah.
Well, I was just reading a story that's going to come out in our Easter newsletter, and a gentleman said that he had lost absolutely everything, and he was actually in the hospital for alcoholism, and somebody said to him, you know, he didn't know where to turn, and they said, you know, why don't you call Morningstar Mission? So he came here totally without any hope, and he found hope. And that's what we're all about, is just giving the Word of God and being the hands and feet of Jesus to give that hope. Mm.
Sandy Persie is our guest right now, Executive Director of Morningstar Mission Ministries in Joliet. They've got a phenomenal thing going on, guys, to the least of these. And here's the interesting thing, Sandy. We're all the least of these at some time.
Always.
Always.
I always say, but for the grace of God, I'm the person sitting on the other side of the desk.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay.
And I've been there. I have been on the other side of the desk, and when I share my story to our guests, occasionally the Lord gives me that opportunity, and when I share that story, every time, they're just like, I can't believe you were there.
Well, Sandy, you just set something up, and we better hear it right now. What's your story? Do you mind giving it to us?
I don't mind at all. I was sexually abused as a young child. And I grew up in a Christian home, and it wasn't until I was 50 years old that I was able to tell that story.
Oh, my goodness.
And I'm absolutely able to tell it to you and without shedding a tear, because God has given me victory.
Mm. It's that real, isn't it, Sandy?
It is. It is that real. And almost to a T, every gal that comes through our door has the same story.
Yeah.
Wow. Now,
yeah.
Sandy, your ministry, what are the greatest needs as you're ministering to people who are coming from all different types of backgrounds and pain and trauma sometimes? What are the biggest needs? How can folks help you right now?
Number one is prayer. Always number one is prayer. And we are on the verge of something really big here in Joliet. We've been given a great opportunity, and we just need a lot of prayer behind it. We're in the process of trying to get approved to purchase a hotel. So I just need people to be on their knees in front of Jesus, being our prayer warriors for this. That's probably our biggest need right now. Secondly,
time out. On this hotel thing, is this going to allow you to leverage this space for transitional housing? Is that the vision for this?
Both. It's emergency shelter, transitional housing, and permanent supportive housing for mentally ill.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, I'm going to interrupt this right now because I'm going to cut to the chase. How much money are you trying to raise to get this thing pulled off or to rehab it?
The county has given us $5 million, and it will cover the full boat of this.
This is amazing news.
Wow.
Wow.
It is. It is, and it's on the west side of Joliet, and it is something that is sorely needed because we have such a homeless population over there that when we're on the east side, it's very difficult to serve.
Oh, my goodness. Sandy Persie, okay, I interrupted you because I thought, let's take up a big offering. We are going to point people to help you out and to reach people in Joliet and beyond. But what's the second thing you had to mention?
Well, the second thing is, as we're getting into cold weather, now it's not severely cold, but our nights are in the low 20s right now. And so people are coming to us many times in just shoes, no socks, just a very thin jacket. And so right now we're giving them coats, clothes, and just serving them as best we can. And so that's what we're looking at right now is what we call our winter rescue kit, and just trying to give them hats, gloves, coats, shoes, boots, and physical needs of what they need right now.
That's excellent. All right, Boom Crew, we've got something for you to move on right now. Now, winter rescue kits, two options, one link.
Fantastic opportunity for you to really provide tangible support for people in need this winter season. Just text the word KIT to 312-274-9624. You'll get a link that shows you how you can purchase one of these kits for a person in need. Just text KIT to 312-274-9624.
For less than $50, two different type kits. Lives are transformed. Go check it out. Text the word KIT to 312-274-9624. Sandy, we want to thank you for being with us today, sister.
Well, thank you guys so much. I thank you for your partnership and what you do every morning in the city of Chicago.
Hey, this is Carl with Carl and Crew, and I'm so grateful that you listened to this showcast. Thank you mostly for being part of the Boom Crew. As we help you take your next step with Jesus, you're a huge encouragement to us. We'll be here again live every weekday morning from 5 to 9 a.m. Godspeed.